is preeminently the time to speak the truth, the whole truth, frankly and boldly. The only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
Today's show is brought to you by Paul's Automotive. Paul's Automotive is located at 634 Route 46 in Kenville, New Jersey. If you want a master mechanic who has over 38 years of experience with quality work, he's your guy to call. He strives to keep you in a safe and reliable vehicle, and his goal is to make your experience as pleasurable and convenient as possible. It's not like you're dropping your car off and you're getting somebody named Joe Blow who's working on your car. Paul's the guy that'll be working on your car, and he gives you a reasonable price. We're proud to say that he's helped Autism Radio many times to keep our vehicle safe and reliable on the road. So he's your guy to give a call today at 973-584-1035. Remember, he's always committed to quality, and he's pleasurable to work with, and he is very helpful. So give him a call today at 973-584-1035. 1035 today.
Welcome back to AutismRadio.org, home of the world's first autism support radio network and proud 501c3 charitable organization, helping families challenged with autism every day get services they desperately need. Please help us make a difference in the autism community and find it in your heart to support 1 in 88 families in America today. Donate directly at AutismDonation.org. Now, stay tuned for a special broadcast of Hope Saves the Day with autism activist, super dad and author of The Spectrum Diet, Master Chef and the Hope Man himself, your host, Paul Simmons.
Thank you for that great introduction. As always, it's great to be back on another edition of Hope Saves the Day. Also like to welcome back to the program my co-host, Lynn Glukoff.
Hi, Paul. How are you?
Good, Lynn. It's great to have you back on. We have a really hot topic of the week. It was a real good social media buzz because obviously we know this time of the year, it's summertime. And our question was, how does our child with autism do with transitioning from the end of school to vacation? And also asked a question in a question as if your child is entitled to any summer services through the district. If not, what do you usually do with your child during the summer months? Also wanted to let you know what ESY was extended school year, which refers to the special education or related services provided beyond the normal school year of a public agency for the purpose of providing a free and appropriate public education to a student with a disability in accordance with the child's IEP at no cost to the family. There's things like critical life skills, which include any skill determined by your IEP to be critical to the student's overall education process, including social and behavioral skills in determining critical life skills for specific needs of your child, for the school divisions may consider those skills to lead to independent living. Also, regression and recoupment. The IEP team must determine whether or without these services there's a likelihood of a regression of critical life skills caused by a school break. And I know this is a big thing for many parents, is they fear that regression. So we're lucky enough to have a program through the summer. Also, one of the other hot topics in that is the degree of progress, which is the IEP team reviews the student's progress towards the IEP goals and objectives, targeting critical life skills, and determines whether, without these services, the student's degree or rate of progress toward those goals or objectives will be significantly jeopardized. The other one, emerging skills and breakthrough opportunities, just to touch upon these a little bit, the IEP team reviews all the IEP goals, targeting critical life skills to determine whether any of those skills are at a breakthrough point. When the critical life skills are at this point, the IEP team needs to determine whether the interruption in services and instruction on those goals or objectives during the school break would possibly significantly jeopardize the student's receipt of educational benefit from his or her educational program during the regular school year. Also interfering with behaviors. Also, nature or severity of the disability. The IEP team determines whether without the ESY services that the nature or the severity of the student's disability is likely to significantly jeopardize the student's receipt of the benefit for his or her educational program during the regular school year. So basically, this explains in a nutshell, it's really important, and Lynn knows this, that the kids have a continuing education during the summer. It's really tough to have a long break. So we have some great responses for some of our listeners on our social media page that Lynn's going to share with us.
Okay. We did get a couple of interesting responses. Again, I didn't get the ages of the kids, so keep in mind, again, varying ages and varying levels of severity on the spectrum. Our daughter has her first summer job, so she's actually quite busy this summer. In middle school, we had her participate in summer programs at the local YMCA. It kept her busy each day and forced her to use her social skills. Okay, I'm assuming that's an older girl. My daughter is going ESY, which we just talked about, half days till April 24th. August 19th, the regular school year starts. She transitions better than I thought. She ripped a few shirts again. When my son is out of school for more than 2 weeks, he really struggles. We spend most days in our pool, which he loves. Hiking is another preferred activity. His school extends through most of the summer, but he has a few weeks off in June and August. My son gets 2 weeks of summer school right after the school year ends and 2 weeks before it begins. The time between that can be hard at times. The change in the structured schedule he had before to having find a different activities for him can be fun, but at times challenging. He starts to be a little bit more aggressive and more emotional when it's time for the activity to end. Some of our activities are swimming, going to a regional park, or parks with play structures. The last person wrote, not so good. My son needs his structure. He misses his friends and his homework. He just started school yesterday, so he's going to back his routine for 4 more weeks. So it seems like, you know, a lot of people do struggle with this, these breaks. And I know this year has been the most difficult, believe it or not, of all since he's had ESY since he's been young. And usually, the ESY for him is actually more low-keyed, so he actually used to kind of enjoy it more. I don't know if, like, he's just more aware this year because, like I said, he did progress so much. But he had a really difficult time, like, from the end of June to, like, from the day that school ended, regular school, to, like, almost 2 weeks into the ESY. Now he's finally adjusting to the ESY schedule. But he had a really, like, to the point of, like, physically getting ill. Like, and it wasn't, like, illness, like, sick illness. It was, like, his stomach wasn't right. You know, like, more like anxiety-type illness. Sleep was off. Just very off. Very confused. Very stimmy, which he wasn't, you know. So we've had a little difficult time with Michael this year. And I don't, you know. it's been tough. But then on the other side of it, I'm like, well, he's more aware now. And maybe he misses his friends, and maybe he, you know, it's not the same. It's definitely not the same aid, I know that. It's the same teacher. It's the same building. But definitely, you know, you don't know. I don't know the kids in the class. I can't go down there. During ESY, I don't know if you know this. I don't think you're allowed in most programs to go and visit them because the hours are shorter. So I don't know what's going on in the school. And he's had a hard time this year. I don't know, you know.
Well, it could be the age, too, Lynn. You know, I mean, I know, like, you know, Jonathan definitely wants more independence. I know we talked about that, and Michael's definitely showing signs of more independence now, too. So that could be, you know, he wants to be kind of on his own a little bit.
Yeah, I think, I actually think it's more of what do I do now? Like, he's so used to them telling him everything to do that when he has the free time, he doesn't know what to do. So he's just kind of like, he needs that structure. He really needs that structure.
Well, I think their minds actively race, probably. You know, they're constantly, you know, thinking about stuff. So if they're busy doing activities, they don't have a lot of time to think about it because they're given tasks.
Maybe. Like I said, I don't know. All I know is he really had a – and he's had has a great, great program. I mean, they're doing great stuff with him. He's going to rest. He's enjoying it. But for some – that I think from that end of school to not knowing – what was going to happen afterwards, whereas when he was younger, I don't think he cared as much. He just kind of needed that break. But now I think he needs to know, like, what's going to happen next, which is a good sign, actually, you know, more.
Absolutely.
Aware. So he's had a difficult time this year. We actually put our pool up a couple weeks. I think when we spoke last, we had our last show. And he's been, luckily with the weather, it's been really hot. So we've gotten full use out of the pool, and he's really enjoying that. And so that kind of helps him relax. After school, you know, well, not after
school. Yeah, they need that physical activity, and swimming's so great.
It is, yeah.
Swimming's such a great physical activity. I know we like to take Jonathan to the beach because it's like a super sensory thing for him. He doesn't go all the way in the water, but he likes to run in, kind of like hit the wave a little bit, then run back out, and then run in, run out, and he gets a ton of exercise that way.
Oh, wow.
And then also with the sand, he loves the sand. He'll put his feet, his legs, his hands, his arms into the sand, and just and he likes especially the wet sand because it has weight to it, I think, and it feels cool maybe on his skin too.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting, but I know, like, for him, we always plan our vacations usually around the end of school, because I know my wife's thought process on this is that, you know, instead of him being home doing nothing for a week,
right,
he's on vacation for a week during the break. So, you know, this kind of transitions to what we're talking about because,
right,
you know, they don't do well if they just sit home for a week. They really don't.
Yeah.
Unless they have some kind of therapist coming to the house or doing something.
Michael did have some therapy, you know, that I'm trying to think what we did. We did not go anywhere, and I think it was difficult. Oh, I know what was difficult for him. He got very attached with Amanda this year, and she already had started camp a few days before him. So it was actually pretty cute. He was actually kept trying to get out of the car and go to camp with her, and we're like, no, you don't go.
Oh,
like
poor guy.
Like, he's very
absolutely. They get attached to their sisters. I know.
Yeah,
Jonathan's so the same way.
You don't, and I think it was hard for him. Like, instead of enjoying, you know, being with me, I think he loves her so much, and they just adore each other that he couldn't wait to see her every day, which was kind of cute, you know, and it broke up the day a little bit. But I think that might have been a little difficult for him. And she's been very involved with softball at night, so he was alone with me a lot. It was just a hard, you know, so he didn't see his dad as much. His dad would take, you know, Amanda to her softball game. So it was just a little bit, you know, it was hard. It was mostly just me and him, and it was a little tough, you know, for him.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the thing is, you know, parents try to, you know, keep their kids active and do something with them. But, you know, we got house chores to do and things to do. So it's like we can't sit and just play with our child all day like we would love to, you know, especially for a lot of stay-home dads or stay-home moms. You know, it's hard for them to sit and play with their child all day and almost be like an educator. We just don't have that time. There's too much to be done. I mean, we do try to do what we can to spend time with them, of course, and keep them busy and happy. I know a big thing, like with Jonathan, I think Michael's the same, is food is a big thing for them. I mean, we're feeding him constantly. Like, he just eats, and I don't know if it's out of boredom or just he just loves to eat. This kid has a bottomless pit, we say, because he can just eat all day, and I don't know where he stores it.
Does he grow a lot? Is that why he hasn't? Like, do you think he's going to shoot up after this?
I don't know. You know, it's a good question. I mean, my daughter, it's funny because she just got measured the other day, and she's 5'9" and not even 15 yet, you know. So she's already tall, like, you know, way over him. He's definitely on the shorter side, which I think takes more after my wife's family genes. But because I'm a more taller. I'm over 6 feet. So, you know, it's interesting to see how these kids develop, but maybe he is going through a growth spell because he is 12 and he could be.
That's what worried me was that Michael all of a sudden wasn't eating, you know, like he lost a ton of weight. It was just really strange. Like he was totally not himself. Like he lost a ton of weight. His stomach wasn't right. And it wasn't like he had a bug because he was acting fine. He was happy and running around. You know, it was like it wasn't like he was sick. But he just wasn't, he was like, I think he was just unhappy. I really think it really had to do with him being unhappy. And it was going on so long that I actually had to call the doctor. Like, what the heck is wrong?
Yeah.
But
see, that's what's hard. You know, when you have a child like ours that are nonverbal, I think that's what makes it a real challenge. Because, you know, there might be, we don't know what they're thinking. And they might be, you know, just kind of like depressed or down just like everybody else. And
I think he was.
You know, I think they have a lot of, you know, they probably have all the same emotions that we have. We just don't know what they are sometimes or what they're thinking.
Yeah.
I know for my son, we go on vacation and usually the last day of vacation and going home the next day is usually bad for him. And it happened again this year. You know, it's the same thing every year. You know, he gets kind of depressed because he's like, wow, another year gone. Another vacation gone, you know, like
I think
he looks forward to that because he's when he sees the beach and he's on the, you know, sand and in the waves and running the water. It's just such a great sensory and invigorating for him to be in that ocean salt water,
aww,
which does wonders for kids with autism and anybody for that matter. You know, being exposed to the ocean is just so much energy that's, you know, put back in your body. You know, you don't realize, people forget, and not to get too into it, but, you know, our bodies are like sponges. So our skin absorbs stuff. And when we're in that salt water, it helps actually purify our body a bit, believe it or not. Yeah. You know, we absorb things like magnesium, and we get vitamin D from the sun. And we're just, you know, you think about it, how kids are wiped out a day after the beach. How many times you take your kids to the beach for the day and they're asleep in the car by 6-7 o'clock at night,
right,
passed out.
Right.
And that actually happened to him. We got home one night from the beach, and he sat on the couch, and we put on a DVD, and he fell asleep. Like, and he never does that at home, ever fall asleep during the day. So the beach definitely does something to them and wears them down, and it's great. It's great to be there. Not too relaxing for the parents at times, because you're busy chasing them. And not speaking from personal experience, but yeah, I got to work out following them all over the beach too. So, but yeah, I mean, you know, it's interesting to see what different families are able to do. And you know, I think, you know, once school gets out, you know, now we're in July, you know, so he'll be in school for the next, I don't know, 3-4 weeks, I guess. And then school ends, and there's like a 2 or 3 week lull,
yeah,
well, 3 week lull in between. And that's the tough part.
That's
what we were trying to get from parents. Like, you know, how do you guys cope with that? How does your child deal with that? You know, most of them, I don't hear too well. They seem to struggle with that. I got to be honest. It seems like most of the kids struggle with that break.
Yeah, well, usually with us, that's the longest break for us. So that's why I don't really plan anything for the end of June, but usually I plan for the end of August. So because of that, it's almost 3 weeks. This year, actually, it's not as long for us because my kids start a little bit earlier.
Yeah, ours too, actually. They go back before Labor Day, which is weird.
I was so happy. It's like, oh, good.
Yeah. I wanted the opposite, because I wanted to try to take a little trip at the end of the year, but now we can't because my daughter goes back before Labor Day. So
yes, both kids do. So, but yeah, usually that's, for me, is the hardest part. Like, I always try to tell my husband to take off some of those days, something, so I have some help or whatever. My babysitter is away, you know, so I really don't get much help. sometimes I use her during the breaks to help me a little bit here and there. So, so that is, for us, is usually the harder part. Usually that week in June, like I said, this year might have been different because of Amanda. Maybe he's just more attached to her now. And I think also he's more aware of, like, wanting a friend and whatever, or just, you know, wanting companionship. And also he, you know, again, he doesn't have the skills. Our kids in general, I don't know. The higher functioning ones, also I hear from parents too, their play skills are, you know, they may have more than the severe, but they still have a hard time, like, you know, keeping themselves busy, entertained, you know, by themselves without somebody telling them what to do, you know.
Right.
My kid can't do anything, but, you know, he can't do anything except watch a video by himself. That's about it. And even that is, like, very limited. So, you know, it's hard. It's hard to keep him busy.
Well, it's funny you talk about that, because I saw a child with autism on the beach. He must, you know, he was higher functioning than Jonathan, you know, because he was having a conversation with me and talking to Jonathan.
Wow.
But
okay.
But he went up to some kid and took his boogie board from him. And the kid was kind of like, that's mine. You know, right. His reaction, you know, from a neurotypical kid, you know, he started to get angry. And like, hey, kind of push the kid away. And I said, oh, easy. I talked to the kid, and I said, listen, you know, he has special needs. He doesn't understand. I said, I don't know if you've ever heard of autism. And I started to explain to the child. Now, this is a young kid, so I don't know how much they absorb.
Right.
But he kind of like, they actually know more than you think. Kids today are more aware of disabilities than we were, for sure.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You know, it's funny because I don't know if you do this, but I look back on my life and my childhood, and I realized that there was kids in my grade that had probably autism.
Oh, yeah.
For sure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's one kid in particular that comes to mind, not to mention names, but definitely was on the spectrum, for sure.
Really? Okay.
And I just remember how horrible some of the other kids used to treat him.
Oh, yeah,
I know. And it was just terrible. And now today, you don't really see that as much. Yes, bullying still goes on, absolutely. But there's much, much less of that today. Kids are, you know, being educated at the right age. I know a lot of the martial arts schools that we're involved with Autism Radio, and also a lot of the things that my brother has brought to Grappler's Quest over the years, is teaching the young kids from a young age about standing up for others and about treating kids better, basically, and being almost like the tough kids in school, especially a lot of the kids that are into the martial arts are usually the tougher kids and the best athletes, to be ambassadors for kids with disabilities or people that have struggles.
Uh-huh.
And we see that, like, kind of take them under their wing and be friends with them and befriend them, which is really cool.
That is nice.
And you're seeing more and more of that today. And I think it's helping transition a lot of these kids with autism. But like I said, there's still a lot of bullies out there and a lot of, you know, bad stuff that goes on. But, you know, there's also a lot of good stuff that's being done today. And I see a lot of sharing being done that you never would have saw, you know, 30 years ago when we were kids or 40 years ago, you know, when we were kids. It just didn't exist.
Yeah. I mean, the whole thing, even in the, like, in the typical schools, they teach them, you know, they have a no tolerance policy for bullying, you know, no tolerance for bullying.
Yep.
Even in my daughter's camp, you know, now it's like, well, if someone's bullying you, you know, they're going to get kicked out of camp. You know, when we were young, it's like, forget it. Nobody helped you with the camp.
Yeah, no, it's true. Well, it's funny. A good friend
for yourself.
A good friend of the show I've had on as a guest, Tom DeBlas, who fought in the UFC, has a great jiu-jitsu school in Ocean County. You know, he does a great job. He came on and, you know, he does a whole anti-bullying campaign. And actually, there was a kid who one of his students came in and said, there's a kid that's a bully at school that bullied this other kid. So Tom took it upon himself to go into the school to talk to the principal about this one kid, actually,
uh-huh.
which is a way above and beyond.
Yeah.
And, you know, actually kind of like straightened out the situation. And, right. you know, you see a guy who's a fighter say, hey, you know, you don't treat people like this. And,
right.
and see, that's what you need. You need these sports figures and athletes and people that kids look up to.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of set the precedence that, hey, you know what, bullying is not cool.
Right.
It's not a good thing to do. Be a friend first.
Right.
Be kind to others, you know, and that's what it really stems for, because some, you know, some parents don't teach those life skills at home to their kids.
Oh, well, that's it.
You know, some kids think it's cool. They watch the WWE or WWF or whatever the heck you call it nowadays. I think it's WWE, but, you know, they show these wrestlers, you know, treating each other horrible and doing terrible things to each other. They think that's a role model, and it's a very poor example. So if the parents aren't teaching the kids right from wrong from an early age, it makes it tough. So, but anyway, just wanted to talk a little bit about that and hear from our listeners a little bit about what you're doing with your child over the summer. You know, so feel free to email us at questions@autismradio.org if you want to add anything to how you're doing with the transitioning through the summer. Because this is a very hot topic and a very important topic, because sometimes parents need an idea. So if you have something to share with the program, be sure to email us or call us at 1-877-HOPE-777 and be a part of the show and help inspire someone and help give someone some information about what's going on in the autism community to be up to that. And Lynn, we want to thank, you know, the listeners mm-hmm. that do partake in our questionnaires every week for,
yes, thank you very
you know,
much.
We
yeah.
appreciate them, because without them, it wouldn't be possible to have some great information. We also want to give a big shout out to Turner Construction Company and Turner Building Assurance. They were our platinum sponsors for the casino night, which is coming up. And I want to tell everybody that tickets are still available, and, we're hoping to sell a lot more tickets from now until the end of the month. It's Friday, September the 18th from 7 to 11 at the Bethwood in Totowa, New Jersey. It's $95 per person, includes a full buffet and open bar, $50 in casino money and prizes to the winner, as well as the silent auction. And plus our special guest, Kenny Danico, who happens to be a Hall of Fame New Jersey Devil player, is a lifer New Jersey Devil, also host on MSG for the Devils, is going to be attending our event, so you can have a great opportunity to have a meet and greet with really a true NHL and New Jersey Devil legend, Kenny Danico. So be sure to get your tickets today and, you know, be a part of this great event, because this event is going to be tremendous to the families and to the programs that we help support with this event through the whole year of 2015 and 2016 season. So please get on board today and go to autismradio.org and purchase your tickets for this event. And I know, Lynn, a lot of our friends and our family will be there as well.
Mm-hmm.
And we hope to meet some new friends there, you know.
Yeah.
So we want to meet some familiar faces and some fans of Hope Saves a Day and Autism Radio. You have a chance to meet us, because we're all going to be there. So if you have any questions or like to meet one of us, you know, please come out to this event. It's going to be a lot of fun, a lot of great food, and a lot of great people on a great evening at a great place called the Bethwood. So hopefully we'll see you all out there attending our event. We're looking really forward to it. So we got a special guest next week. I just want to mention this real quick before we go. We have a big interview coming up this week on one of the most controversial subjects, which is stem cell research and autism. I'm going to be having on the Dr. Chez, who happens to be a world-renowned stem cell scientist who actually did the trial, which was called the Subtle Trial, back for autism back in 2012. Uh-huh. And we're going to talk about some of the findings because they really never talked about it very much. And we have some areas of expertise with him that he has with autism about talking about cord blood and stem cells, because there's a lot of people that go to Panama and these other parts of the country to have stem cell treatment for their kids with autism and claim it cured them or, you know, relieved a lot of their symptoms. So, but we want to find out from the doctor and scientist who happens to be out of Arizona here in the U.S., who does all the blood core stem cells research. So you can give us a lot of those unanswered questions. So if you have any questions about that, you know, email us at questions@autismradio.org. And we can ask Dr. Chen. I mean, we only have half an hour to spend with him, but we're going to try to get as much information and a lot of your questions that you're wondering about this treatment, if it is something that, you know, you wanted to look into. So we look forward to that. And we'd like to wish everybody a great week. And as we close out our show with my song that I wrote for my son on his 10th birthday. I can't believe it's now been 2 years ago. Wow. It's available on iTunes, called Hope Saves the Day, which is our theme of our show. And I like to always say it's a heartfelt song that really is about my relationship and a lot of questions and feelings that I have for my son that led me to finally write this song, thanks to my brother, who pushed me to finish writing it. So the show will end with Hope Saves the Day. And we'd like to wish everyone a great week as always. And until next time, everybody, hope saves the day. Bye.
Every time I see your smile, I wonder what you feel. Every time you laugh or cry, I wonder if it's real. You seem trapped inside. Please help me understand, what is your world like? I want to feel your love. I want to know what it's like to laugh and play. Imagine a thought that you cannot feel, a tear trapped inside. Imagine a sound that you cannot make, no matter how hard you try. I want you to know how I'm feeling. I want you to know how it feels to be me. I wish you could look into my world and see how I see. Hold my hand and remind me to hold on to hope each day. Let this song be my voice. And remember, hope saves the day. Show you what I see. What kind of life will I have? What's in store for me? Don't be afraid, just love and hold me. I can be all that I can be. With your love I can do anything. With your love I can see the world like rays of light shine upon me, inside of me. Then you are right by my side. I will love you till the end of time. Hold my hand and remind me to hold on to. Let this song be my voice. And remember, hope saves the day.